Waging War on Corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live. Thank you for joining us. It's the 28th day of January, 2018. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We're going to be live here for the next 2 hours, as we are every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. Dr. Jerome Corsi is going to host the last two segments of the broadcast today because I want to give him the floor. If I stay on with him, I'll have plenty to add about the phenomenon of QAnon that millions of people read on the 8chan message boards. And much of what QAnon has put out has turned out to be very accurate information. Some of it has not transpired exactly how QAnon said, but things are fluid, no one knows the future exactly. I know that we have some really high-level military and intelligence agency sources that have been extremely accurate, in fact, more accurate even, and they're stunning, not just predictions, but exposing huge stories, like Zach, who we should get back on here very, very soon, who's laid out the secrets of the storm. There is a storm worldwide of nationalism against globalism, a storm of populism taking place. And the globalists, the insiders, the monopoly men, are in a full panic to stop it and to brand it as racist or evil or all the rest of it, because they are the people using race. They are the people using region. They are the people dumbing down the population and playing people off against each other. And so Corsi will be on in the last two segments of today's transmission. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to basically parallel World War II and some of the factors and some of the factions that the United States, Russia, and England faced versus the factions that you'll find the very same alliances face yet again, because history does repeat, but it's been said it also rhymes. So that's coming up. And what spurred me to think about this was I was invited to speak a few years ago at the Oxford Union, and then I was invited to speak at Cambridge as well. But I refused. I was in the middle of a contentious divorce with my first wife and a custody battle at the time, so I didn't do that. But Roger Stone's going to speak there. And we were talking last night about what he was going to talk about and just the parallels of what he was going to talk about versus what we talk about here and what I was going to talk about are basically the same, because we're looking at the same thing. But it really struck me how really black and white the issues are here, and really how authoritarian and truly evil the globalists are. But we'll have cameras there covering that, because the Oxford Union, and speaking to the faculty, that's where Gandhi and Martin Luther King and Kennedy and everybody else has spoken. It's one of the most prestigious places to speak. And I didn't refuse it to snub them. I was just hunkered down here. But I'm glad that Roger's going over there to do that. And the invitation's open. I'll probably go do that sometime as well. But why not just give you kind of a little foretaste of what I intend when I speak someplace like Oxford to say here on air, because it has a Anglophilic vein through it. That's a particular speech I would give in England. But then I was thinking about that speech that I would give in England that I never gave because I didn't go. And I was thinking about, well, why not just give that speech here today? So I never wrote the speech. It's in my head. But you're going to get that speech coming up at the bottom of the hour. I'm even thinking about putting a lectern in an area here in one of our new studios where I can go give speeches. There's something about being in a lectern and maybe even have a studio audience in sometimes. And to do that, because as folks know, I haven't given a lot of speeches in years, but I did previously. And folks said that's particularly where I shine, is to a large group or audience. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You got it. to keep them separated.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Alex Jones. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours. Thank you so much for joining us. This is the live Sunday transmission. I've been doing this for 10 years. 10 years here in the Sunday slot, 4 to 6 p.m. Then, of course, the weekday transmission, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central. Been doing that for 20 years. I've been on air for 23 years. It'll be 23 years coming up in April. Wow, where to start? When you're embedded in the news and you really pay attention to what's going on and you actually know the facts versus what the mainstream corporate media is saying and you see their talking points, it's really frustrating. And I know most Americans have caught the lies, the propaganda, the twisting for themselves. But so much of the real brainwashing goes on inside entertainment. And if you ever ask why the so-called left, really the modern authoritarians posing as liberals, are so willing to censor the internet now and so willing to try to shut down everybody's free speech with their own, it's because it's what the modern left has done the last 100 years all over the world. They always shut down free speech. Look at Venezuela and its collapse right now. Look at so many other leftist countries. They always end in barbarous, cutthroat, freebooting, road warrior-like collapse. But particularly, we've seen the bullying in Hollywood, the bullying in mainline newspapers, the bullying in mainline TV, where anybody who is even mildly nationalistic, mildly free market, gets attacked, gets demonized, doesn't get booked on shows, doesn't get written about. They try to publish their books, and the publishers dump them, like Milo. They learn that Neil Strauss, one of the top writers, wants to publish a big book with me, and they found out about the secret shopping of the book, and CNN came out and said, we've absolutely got to, you know, shut this down, not let Alex Jones publish this book. They're incredible. And so you see Jay-Z, worth hundreds of millions of dollars, coming out complaining about Trump, saying he's a racist with no evidence of it, when it's Jay-Z being the racist. And Trump responds back, hey, we've got the lowest black unemployment ever. I am directly meeting with black leaders across the Rust Belt to get massive investment targeted into those neighborhoods with incentives for high-paying training and jobs. I mean, we're talking about starting $50,000 a year, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year with chances into management, which isn't like affirmative action. Pay somebody to sit at home and watch TV and have kids that then get involved in drugs and crime and, you know, create the cycle of prisons and poverty, which they admit's going on. This is the real deal. This is direct investment, and you see the so-called black leaders, which are a bunch of, you know, hip-hop stars and people like that, out there race baiting. It's truly sickening. And then Michael Moore weighs in, and it's crazy to see how upset they are that all of this is happening. Here it is. Unhinged Michael Moore assails Trump, unfit narcissist, sociopath, threat to humanity. That's just the latest stuff right there. And the censorship comes in with a big top star. In fact, I guess they say she's the top star, period, out there. And, of course, everybody knows who I'm talking about. She won't get into all of this. She won't join in to all of the endless hating and the rest of it. Taylor Swift. So I was reading what the mainstream news and people say about her. She's aggressively white. She needs to apologize for the fact that she's even white. And because she won't attack the president, they're now trying to boycott her and shut down her shows when she's the highest grossing beyond the Beatles, beyond George Strait. First, George Strait broke the Beatles record, and now it's Taylor Swift. And she's number one. She's apolitical. for people that want escapism. And because of that, there's a big move to try to shut her down because she's white. That is incredible racism on its face. And that story's up on Infowars.com. So that's who these bullies are. And it shows how anyone who wants entrance, even if they're very talented, into the system has to fly their flag as a leftist. That's called being in a cult. That's authoritarianism. And then if you become successful just being apolitical, they're like, hey, you better join us politically or we're going to call you aggressively white. And it's white people that are driving this. It's incredible. They're looking at demographics. They're racist white people who use race to control. A true racist isn't even believing it. They're just using it for balkanization and control issues. They then know that classical Americans are good people and aren't racist, so they can bully us, and they say, you will do what we say, you will pick up our political views, or we will attack you even if you don't say anything political. You are our slave. Taylor Swift has no fear of bullies on the left. It's out of the Herald Sun. The bullying of Taylor Swift for the egregious crime of not publicly supporting Hillary Clinton or denouncing Donald Trump has entered its third year. Despite unrelenting pressure, Swift refuses to become an overtly political feminist pet who obediently regurgitates lefty talking points. For this sin, the singer-songwriter has paid a heavy price. She's been labeled aggressively white, linked to neo-Nazis, and accused of being a messenger, these are quotes, for a disturbing new era. Last week, she was criticized by BuzzFeed, that's the PeePeeGate people, the fake news kings, for not taking part in a second annual Women's March, a.k.a. the world's longest post-election tantrum. Another BuzzFeed hit piece blamed Swift for having white supremacist fans and claimed that she is intrinsically likened to whiteness and privilege. And I'm going to stop there as they move forward with trying to shut her down. But don't worry, Katy Perry and Beyonce and Lady Gaga, they'll all play along, Miley Cyrus, while they degrade women, everybody else, and cover up for Hollywood's incredible crimes. Then you watch these women's marches that love Hillary when she's the poster child of covering up men abusing women, raping women. And Sharon Stone is in the news saying, Harvey Weinstein, you know, you don't give somebody the death penalty for a parking ticket. That's a quote. We've got dozens of witnesses, people that are credible, like his chauffeur, like his butlers, saying he would jump on top women, small women's what he likes, like 100 pounds, and rape them with them begging and pleading with their legs back behind their ears. That's what rape is when you're a big man and you force yourself on a woman. That's rape, rape, rape. And I got three daughters. You rape one of my daughters, you're not going to have to wait for the police to come. It's better for you to know that... It's better to be tried by nine than carried by six. And that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be getting carried by six. You touch my daughters. The point is these people signal, while Oprah is bringing people in to basically be thrown at Weinstein. And they say it's like, I thought it'd be safe because Oprah's there. And all of a sudden she turns me over to Weinstein. We're going to talk more about this when we come back for break, but Vanity Fair has photoshopped a male actor out because a girlfriend said once he forced her head down too forcefully in consensual sex. I'm not defending, who knows, it's Hollywood, the thing's a cesspool, it's a latrine. But, oh, they left Oprah in the photoshop, you see. So we'll show you that when we come back, but that's exactly what it's like in the old Soviet Union. When people weren't liked anymore, they would just get photoshopped out of the photos. But not Oprah Winfrey and not Bill Clinton and not Hillary. And there's a new bizarre video we will play when we get back of Hillary Clinton running around saying, oh, yeah, we're the bitches. We're the nasty women. Yeah, let's go, bitches. And that's what the women say in these marches. We hate men. We're nasty. We're into being gross. We're into being selfish. We don't want to be appealing. We want to be ugly. And that's why studies show liberals are seen 5-1 as more ugly than conservatives across the board in every culture. And we've got those documents coming up as well. But the big news is also coming up. Trump ignores DOJ warning once FISA memo released. Stay with us. And the State of the Union is coming up as well. Infowars.com.
front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. I want to get into the big news dealing with the secret FISA memo that could be released as early as tomorrow. The State of the Union, just huge news on that front. Breaking exclusive intel on the secrets of QAnon, one of these intelligence sources that's been proven to be frighteningly accurate. We'll have Dr. Corsi coming up at the end of the broadcast for two segments, breaking that down here. It's all coming up. But just getting back in to the hypocrisy of Hollywood, I know all of us listening, most of us, are aware that Hollywood's a cesspool, that they're hypocrites, that they're out of control. But again, Hollywood knew about Harvey Weinstein for decades, reportedly raping scores of women, not just abusing them, and covered it up. And the person that was known for enabling it, many actresses have come out. It's been in the news. We've covered it and said that she would like basically pimp women to Weinstein, that she was working with him, and there's photos of her all over him and sticking her tongue in his ear. That's Harvey Weinstein. There it is, British actress. Says Weinstein used Oprah as bait for sex. Actress say Oprah duped her into thinking Weinstein would help her career. So it's well known that she was a prostitute, Oprah, that Oprah hires prostitutes, that Oprah is a lesbian, which, again, I'm not attacking her for that. I'm just, that's the facts. And that she's at the very core of the elite of Hollywood. What's that tell you? Oh, but did Vanity Fair, let's put it on screen for TV viewers. Did Vanity Fair Photoshop her out of the latest issue coming out with all of these other Hollywood curmudgeons? I mean, all of these Trump haters who just go out and virtue signal and try to stop the economy coming back. Tom Hanks, and of course other losers like Robert De Niro that said Trump would never be president. He's a punk and wants to beat him up. Harrison Ford. I mean, who could go see any movies these losers are in? And right there, there's Oprah with women sexually all over her. One woman's between her legs. Other woman's got her breast shoved in her face. I mean, they're letting you know who the goddess is right there with all the little goddesses attached to her like harpies. So they're telling you everything you need to know right there. And then Franco, James Franco, he's edited out. And he's saying, he comes up and says, okay, his girlfriend says, well, 18 years ago or something, he shoved my face down in his crotch, you know, in the car when he was my boyfriend, okay? Another girl, yeah, you know, once he got me really drunk and we had sex and he was rude to me. Okay, I mean, the guy does come off kind of like, I said, you know, partying moron. Put him in jail if he did something wrong. But what about Oprah? See, you don't Photoshop her out. It's the total and complete hypocrisy. And then meanwhile, there's other hypocrisy here. You've got this family arrested after 12 children, ages 2 to 29, found shackled in California home. Now they've released photos of a Texas home that was foreclosed on a few years ago that was just absolutely nightmarish. And they say because they were Christians, and homeschoolers, as if homeschoolers do this, it's all over the news saying that. But when CNN or others do report on tens of thousands of men, women, and children being sold into slavery, nowhere is there anything about Islam. CNN, this week, people for sale where lives are auctioned for $400, men, women, and children. But never do they tell you in the whole article it's legal under Islamic law. Oh, no, 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 never, never. People for sale. Since Hillary came and helped bring down Libya and blow up its infrastructure, now Saharan, sub-Saharan Africans come in, mainly animist, some of them Christian, out of southern Sudan. And then they say in the article, oh, they were kidnapped in southern Sudan by Muslims. It's all over the foreign press. It's all over the African press. The ongoing civil war for 30 years as the Muslims have invaded into Sudan and taken 90% of it. But that's why it's so frustrating. I mean, I turn on television. I walk into a restaurant. It's the family with the 12 kids and how bad Christians are. Christians, homeschoolers. But then I see on the news, oh, look, poor Sudanese. They're being sold into slavery. Oh, since Libya is a failed state. No discussion of Anderson Cooper, CNN, everyone cheerleading. Gaddafi, who'd been working with the U.S. for a decade, he'd invested all his money with us. He'd stopped being a terrorist. He built all this infrastructure. He was helping Africa. Obama double-crossed him. Let him take over. Hillary went in and said, I came, I saw, he died. They ruined the country. And you've got people from all over southern Sudan, central Sudan, eastern Niger, Algeria, going up into Libya, being promised they can get to Europe, and instead they get sold into slavery by Muslims. Then they use the pain of the public seeing these poor people, and they go, oh, they're migrants. We've got to let more in, or they'll be put into slavery. They're coming up out of Central Africa and out of Eastern Africa because they got kidnapped in Islamic slave trade of Boko Haram that's gone all the way to the west into Nigeria and is threatening to take the entire country. There's a giant Islamic invasion that Obama and his cousin Odinga run out of Kenya. This is all on record. Muslim Brotherhood, all of it, out of Egypt. We say the U.S. under Obama overthrew our allies in Egypt, and they blew up hundreds of churches and killed tens of thousands. Oh, but James Franco once, his girlfriend, movie star, said he once aggressively shoved her head down in a car because she wasn't giving him good enough of fellatio. Okay, he's a punk. Punch him in the nose. Call your daddy or brother and have him kick his ass. That's what you're supposed to do. The point is, oh, but see, you don't have a daddy. You're not supposed to have a family. You've got the state, don't you? But the very state that does all this helps the Islamicist run these massive operations and go in and kidnap black people from all over Africa, as far south and west as Nigeria. And CNN has maps showing all of this. But does it tell you they're Muslims, they're Muslims, they're Muslims, they're Muslims? It's Muslims doing it. Libya, slave footage sparks outrage, BBC. And if you dig deep enough, you'll finally find ISIS. But remember, Obama told us ISIS is not Islam. Power is waning, but its child slave trade is booming. A Yazidi captive's tale, sold by ISIS as a sex slave. Some little girls as young as 5. ISIS captures 7,000 women and kids to sell them on social media as sex slaves. Meanwhile, here's what the children in the California torture house did to cope with the abuse. Okay, great. It's terrible. Mentally ill, crazy people that were doing this. Were they organized? Were they invading half of Africa? No. And fine, tell us they were Christians, okay? You got some bad so-called mentally ill people that call themselves Christians. They're not organized, taking over half the Middle East and other areas and backed by our government. That's the problem. And Trump comes in and ends that practice. To a great extent, the CIA and others are still kind of halfway doing it. And they act like he is Adolf Hitler returned in the flesh. Adolf Hitler was the one working with the Muslims, by the way. Look it up. And if you try to talk about it on German social media, they ban you, even if you're a professor or a journalist. You can't show pictures of Hitler going and meeting with all the top Muslims that universally pledge their allegiance to him. We'll be back with my huge breakdown, a key analysis you don't want to miss. This is critical. Please spread the live links and tell folks about your local affiliates you're listening to.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
I was asked to speak 3 years ago at the Oxford Union. It's one of the most historical and interesting places to give a speech. And it's been well known for having controversial speakers for hundreds and hundreds of years. I was unable to do it because I was in the middle of a contentious divorce and custody battle with my ex-wife at the time. So it wasn't a snub to the Oxford Union. But then it reminded me, the reason I tell this story is that when I was talking to Roger Stone last night about the fact that he's going to be traveling to the UK starting tomorrow to address the Oxford Union, I told Roger what I was intending to say even 3 years ago at the Oxford Union, and how in the modern times so much more has happened along that line, that visionary line, and that I thought he should speak on some of those topics. And he said, that's amazing, Alex, because here's my notes. They just asked me to speak last week. This is what I'm intending to talk about. In fact, I want to join you Monday before I fly out in the evening. That's how a lot of those flights are. You fly out in the evening and get there when it's the morning over there. And he said, so I will come on Monday and kind of give you the speech that I'm going to give to the Oxford Union. And we're going to send a crew as well that'll be meeting up with him. So that is going to be something we'll maybe even carry live once we get in place over there. But that's all a side issue. It just reminded me of the speech I wanted to give that was more of a Anglo-centric, Anglophile perspective. Doesn't mean I'm an Anglophile. It doesn't mean that I'm obsessed with the UK, even though my surname is Welsh. I think it's a fine culture, beautiful country, great people. It's just that 3 years ago, that would have been a speech that I would have given them there. But now that speech is a speech you can give to the entire planet. And about 5 years ago, I spoke outside Bilderberg, north of London, in the rolling grass hills above an elite meeting house where the Bilderberg group was meeting. We had over 3,000 people in attendance. And I had the folks from the UK chanting the answer to 1984 is 1776 with more gusto than they do here in the US, because I'd just given the prototype of the speech that I would give a year and a half later at Oxford if I had gone. And then now the complete speech I would give today. And now that I'm up to the point of giving the speech, when you're sitting there thinking about a speech, it's so much more easy than just giving it. And by that, I can talk endlessly. It's just that it's such a big idea. It's so true that I don't want to just sit here and say these things and have it just be something that's mixed into the background of everything else we talk about, because it's all super important. In fact, things are so crazy. Going about our business, once you know this stuff, is obscene. And so now I don't even know if I can give that speech. It's not that my tongue is even tied. It's just so real, so important, that I don't feel worthy. I've done the research. I know who the globalists are. I know what their plan is. You notice everything I told you 15 years ago is word for word coming out of Elon Musk's mouth right now. And it's not because he plagiarized what I was saying. Finally, there's a break with the elite. And a bunch of people in the establishment don't want this plan to continue. And so people like Elon Musk have backing from people in NASA, in the Pentagon, in the Trump administration. How many times did I say they're creating a one-world government where you worship a AI computer that can give you advanced technology or, quote, eternal life, but you really won't get eternal life? You'll be told that you're going to get rid of this body and enter this silicon system, and that you won't hurt the earth anymore. And so there's going to be pressure for everybody to do this. And they're going to be able to tap into the pleasure centers. They're going to be able to basically make it whatever you want while you're still conscious and alive, plugged into it. And it's going to be the greatest con of cons, the king of cons, that you'll believe your loved ones and things are inside the big computer system, and they'll have avatars and robot bodies they're in, and they'll even have biological bodies in the future that are completely artificial but are biological, and you will think it's your family member. It'll have the sayings, it'll have the mannerisms, it'll have it all, because in the future they'll be able to track everything you say, everything you do for years, and have an algorithm, just like Amazon can already 5 years ago tell you what you're going to order with 99% accuracy, and already have your package preloaded days before you order it and ready to ship to you. people are going to believe they're talking to their loved ones inside of these avatars, inside of these AI systems, and it's not. And that's the big lie. And that's going to be the great abomination that's going to come. And the dehumanization and the genetic engineering and all of it. The speech has to be linear, though, with the development of humanity, the city-states, the nation-states, the elites, the eugenics, the robber barons, the mind wars, the 20th century, the war for the future, which we're now in, the decision humans are obsolete, the decision to go to this silicon-based system that the globalists believe is going to be eternal life. Ray Kurzweil is the top futurist technologist at Google, and he's completely insane. Okay, invented scan printers 40 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever, big deal. Ray Kurzweil says, off my father's papers and notes and things I tell a computer, it's going to recreate him. And I don't believe in God yet. I'm going to be God. Well, he may be crazy enough down the road to believe it's his dad off notebooks. But imagine computers and face scanners and all these ubiquitous systems in our houses that record everything we do in 3D dimension. You will be able to take that data and put it in a humanoid, in a robot, whatever you want, and your mama won't be able to tell it's not you. But it's not you. We can't let this body live forever, but don't worry, you upload yourself into this computer and into this system. It's going to be we're all going to be together, but you'll still have your individualism and everything that's in you, everything you are, we're going to control. Because when you realize you read 2001 Space Odyssey, you read Childhood's End, that was MI6, OSS before that, creator of the telecommunications satellite, Arthur C. Clarke, he later gave speeches and things where he basically admitted, I'm a Luciferian, I believe all this, we're going to have to transcend our bodies to become the new superhuman, and his thinking is the thinking of the insiders. And you know what? They'll argue, hey, we really are going to be gods. Look, we did all this, and we envisioned it, and we used builders. We used people. We used people to then have the idea, put it out there, and then enough money, enough taxpayer money, enough $700 toilet seats, the money siphoned off to actually build these Manhattan Project-type systems of AI, supercomputers, quantum, you know, engines, all of it, to then be able to build the breakaway mass civilization that the establishment thinks it's going to get in. It believes the Earth's going to fail, fall, all the rest of this, is consigned like an egg being fertilized. The Earth is simply the engine and the material to build the metamorphosis of what they're going to become. And so we're just the fuel for their operation. Well, guess what? We're going to have a discussion about this, but I haven't gotten to the next level when we return. Stay with us.
We're all living in America. America is wunderbar. We're all living in America. America.
Welcome back. I am your host, Alex Jones. Why am I so pro-Trump? Because the globalists hate him. He's trying to build a future pro-family, pro-God, pro-human. You can say, well, I don't like the corruption of the big churches, and I don't like all the... I get it. But what are the people coming in rebelling against that? What are they replacing it with? Well, if you don't believe in the world beast system, that's fine. The globalists definitely are taking it as a model and building it. And humans are able, when we have enough technological base and cultural base, to basically build and construct and create anything we want to. We are incredible creatures. And so the basis of the speech that I would give, so something like the Oxford Union, would be political first and just a snapshot historically to parallel. To focus in on the power of the individual, the power of people. And this is where I would begin. Hitler was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation on record. Have a PowerPoint. Put the articles up, New York Times articles, you name it, showing Kaiser Wilhelm Institute, Adolf Hitler, Margaret Sanger, IBM, the Holocaust, all of it. And so I would first point out there's a struggle where you've got the United States and our robber barons funding the Nazi Party starting in the late 20s. And simultaneously, and again, this is a small snapshot of history. Why it's so frustrating. So I could go in on any little snapshot and then build out and connect it to everything because it's all there. We know exactly what happened. This is just the one little piece of the timeline we're jumping in on. You understand? Giant timeline. We're jumping in on one little piece of it. And just my limited knowledge of it, which is still way more expansive than most people out there, except globalists who use this knowledge to control people. Trump and myself and others are trying to decentralize this knowledge. It's the only way to save humanity. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. They believe centralizing it is the way to save humanity. By ending humanity, by unifying it into one huge system so that, oh, we're all too powerful as individuals. We could all destroy the earth at any time. We're all like gods. So we all have to be one now to watch each other. That's total insanity. The answer is into space. That's the answer. And to have a moral system based on that and have a giant launch, because we are so dangerous, to get as far away from each other as possible to then set up competing systems. And out of that new United States of the galaxy, and I'm serious, in the future it'll create new states, and then you can decide what human groups or whatever humans become deal with each other. And that's really the real quantum leap in this thinking. The decision has been made to wall off the future, give you football, give you iPhones, give you entertainment, have men strutting around acting tough and women all, you know, freaked out and feeling alone and wondering what happened to them. Well, our species is being terminated. And then just everybody be a bunch of selfish idiots that buy into the AI and give over their consciousness and get phased out. Because the globalists think they're going to get the real upgrade where they're going to become gods. Of course, they aren't. But believe me, what you get is not going to be that. So the media will take this out of context and say, I'm insane, I made this up. But they don't really do that anymore. They do it 10 years ago because it's exactly what they're really saying. In fact, they're going public with it now. But I digress. Where was I? Oh, back on the timeline. So Hitler is funded by Western eugenicists. The most popular place for eugenics in the world isn't even Germany or England or the U.S. It's Mexico. But that's another side issue. Incredible racism there by the quote upper classes. So I would begin saying there's a battle in all of our nations, good people and bad people. Your own Edward VIII, your own king, swore allegiance to Hitler. And I'll show photos and news articles about that. Queen Elizabeth hailed Hitler herself as a young girl. He was going to be the new king of Europe and the European Union. I would then show London Guardian articles admitting that, even though we broke it decades before they did. So I'd say, so I'm not saying England's bad. No, no, no. You're good. Because when it came, push came to shove, you had a secret treaty with Hitler. You were supposed to act like you were not really going to fight him, but stand down. But after Dunkirk and the rest of it, you decided to stand back up. And I'd go through the whole history of it, at least 5 hours, which they probably couldn't even give me. So it's a film we ought to make. It's a book I ought to write. Oh, with Neil Strauss. Oh, but they don't want that book released. They're working very hard to stop that. But they will fail. And again, there's just too much knowledge just to lay it all out. But just to give you a broad stroke here, back to the timeline. First, I would sit there and address them as a Anglophile crowd that's ashamed of their culture and a very diverse crowd of people from all over the world who aren't ashamed of it. They're coming there to take part in it. The birthplace of real open society, the birthplace of real open discussion. You know, here you are at Oxford. The true modern liberalism going back 800 years. I mean, here you are. 600 if you want to talk about technically, but 200 before that, Magna Carta. So you pull back, and you've got the British king, who's really a German, who's really a Transylvanian, sworn to Hitler. He's got an EU. That all fails, falls apart. The Brits decide to not capitulate, like their double agent had set it up, Neville Chamberlain, and things are off to the races. And we defeat Hitler. But the idea and Juncker, the head of the unelected EU, let that sink in, unelected. They come back. They're still in power. And they bring in the same system. And just like they were allied with Islam in World War II 70 years ago, they're allied with it again. The most oppressive forms of it. And why not? It's a giant population to the south and to the east, ready to control the critical crossroads of the Middle East into Asia, into Russia, into Eurasia, into Eastern Europe, into Western Europe, into the Mediterranean. It's risk being played globally. And see, that's just a very small part of it. And then you point out the censorship, the control, the attack on the family, all of it to debilitate you, all of it to make you weak, all of it to control you. Then you show the quotes with the globalists admitting how they've got this plan, how they are trying to end Europe, how they are trying to end Christendom, how they are trying to end the family. You show the Jesuit Pope up there pushing the whole thing, trying to bring that down as well while he lives behind his walls. You explain. We are fighting the 21st century version of Hitler. We're literally fighting the Nazi heir. But just as England refused Edward VIII, who was in Germany when World War II started and had to get out via Spain and then move to the U.S., just as you refused your Nazism then, you must do it now. But you must understand the Nazis were only a prototype test. And that Aldous Huxley and Julian Huxley and the UN and all of them admitted and wrote books about the master plan to develop the computers, to merge with them, to exterminate the population, to transcend our humanity and to become a new species. And that the decision was made on chalkboards more than 100 years ago. And that we're now living the aftershocks of that today. And that it's not that technology's evil. It's that in all of it is the handiwork and the fingerprints and the Trojan horses and the spirit of the people that created Hitler as a side project. And then you begin to understand. And it's all oversimplified here. But when you talk about the darkest hour and you talk about Winston Churchill and you talk about America, and you, America and England created Hitler. We wrongfully launched World War I. All of it. Hitler was horrible, but out of that, we finally said no and turned against it. And who were we allied with? Russia, England, the United States against the Axis powers in World War II, and we won. And again, we're against an EU global power that was literally set up by Adolf Hitler and Juncker's grandfather with a plan to put Edward VIII on the throne of the EU that would expand. They were going to put poison in the water, fluoride to lower your fertility. They were going to put forced vaccines with added pathogens to dumb the population down. They called it soft kill. That's a Nazi term. This was all the Rockefellers having a big, powerful industrial country they could use as an experiment. But today, Russia isn't Stalinist run. It's becoming Christian and wants to be allied with us against radical Islam. So we're facing the very same EU, allied with the Muslims, allied with the technocracy that created it. The EU calls itself a technocracy, and we are in that fight. So we tolerate the left. We think they're mentally ill. Those are their minions. Those are their fodder. Those are their victims. Those are their servants. Those are their minions. Those are the sad people that were weak and programmed with high-tech psychology. But we have history, we have science, we have facts, and we know we're facing a eugenics breakaway civilization plan that's actually gotten off the ground to a great extent, and we're all facing imminent doom within 25 to 30 years if we don't stop it. And Elon Musk is now telling you exactly what I'm telling you, because there's patriots of the Pentagon working with him and others to try to warn people and get them to awaken to this and build a new human future that Trump and other nationalists are pushing. We sent out the emergency transmission, the people listened, and now we're beginning to turn the tide, but we need you!
Live, raw, and unfiltered by globalist propaganda. It's the Alex Jones Show. Tomorrow's news today.
You know, last segment, and I'm going to combine this segment with that last segment when we posted on YouTube and Facebook and other places, I got into the science fiction dreams of the British and U.S. elite that sold eugenics. Japan, Mexico, they all bought into it. And it was an idea of how to make your people better, how to make your IQs higher, how to make people be smarter and live longer. That's kind of the outside of what eugenics is. But really, it was a study of what humans are going to turn into, transhumanism, beyond breeding, but through merging with scientific systems. And that's because royalty and other elites had seen the problems of their own inbreeding, taking their genetic strengths and it becoming weak. And they saw the native wild intelligence that would sprout up, the idiot genius, as they would call it, in the general public from time to time. And they feared that, but at the same time wanted to capture it. So they wanted to go in with mass culling operations and dumbing down operations, but also have testing very early on to target the savants and the other wizards that they wanted to then recruit into their systems, but they don't want them to ever challenge their duchy or challenge their fiefdom. They don't even want viceroys that rule in their steads or romantic legates that speak in the name of Caesar. They don't want that. They don't believe in honor-based systems. They believe in pure hate, pure cunning, pure overthrow, just pure savage evil that never sleeps. And so they have built this total system of surveillance. And they say, oh, we need world government to stop the atomic weapons we deployed and built. Oh, we need a world government to stop the genetic engineering as they wildly go forward with the cross-human animal species and all this other dangerous stuff. And then as these disasters, both real and manufactured, unfold, be they nuclear wars, mass plagues, you name it, the argument is going to then be in that whole systematic system that we must all upload ourselves into a giant hive mind, hive consciousness, and we could have our personal selves and even our bodies and avatars, but the avatars will finally, again, not have a carbon footprint. That's where this is all moving. And Bill Gates has admitted this. And so that you will be pressured into an avatar and promised all these incredible things and promised all these great cultural enrichments that you're going to get, that you're going to be part of, if you will simply go along with their larger worldview that is to dumb people down, keep them in the dark, only give them backdoor technology with Trojan horses, poison them, and get rid of them. You're saving the earth from this horrible scourge. And so that's the plan. And I've had globalist people say, why don't you tape them? Why don't you talk? Why don't you release the info? They say it all in books and videos and articles and public statements now. And if something's off record and somebody says, Alex, I'll tell you how stuff really works, Mr. Smart Guy, you're never going to save the general public. They're never going to wake up. They don't want to. That's why they're the way they are. The fact that you're interested in this and the fact that you know means you need to get on a plane and come up here to New York City or come to London, and we're ready to hire you right now. And then, you know, it gets down to money, and they're like, you know, I'm the deputy head of this organization, and I'm not making $5 million a year, Mr. Jones. And I think this is really a good deal for you. But if it's not just about the money, you know, you could do a lot more on the inside. I mean, look, $1 million a year, $3 million a year, $5 million a year, they know potential. That's why they're in charge. And I'm not like I'm some great dude. I'm mentally ill like Trump, they say, because I don't want to screw everybody over. I want to keep having grandmas and grandpas and little babies and everything else. And if people want to become cyborgs or chop their genitals off and say they're a woman, you can do that. But here's the deal. You're not going to brainwash all the kids and everybody else to make the world so ugly. We then accept this when really it's a giant Trojan horse to get us all to kill ourselves, basically. And we think we're all joining some big robot system so we can be part of the elite and, you know, be at the real country club up in the cloud. Baby. Burning with the truth, burning with a desire to warn you, burning with victory.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones. What we
are looking at. Earlier, I laid out a gestalt of the admitted stated plans of almost every tech billionaire and the globalists that fund them. And it is a plan to bring in world government, to poison you, to dumb you down, to distract you, and to make this world, the real world, so ugly that you accept being euthanized with the belief that your body's going to be uploaded into this wondrous cloud. And that is their actual plan, a digital hell they're creating, just as Lucifer got one-third of the angels to go with him, and then all it created was a nightmare system. Now, whether you believe the devil existed or not, they're building a system right out of the mind of the old serpent himself. Everything you see Elon Musk talking about today, I've been talking about for 20 years, because it's all in the source documents. This is your final warning, my friends. The globalists think you're dumb and think you're stupid and told me to my face many times that I'm a fool and that you are profane and don't even deserve to know this. I'll tell you this. I tweeted a picture of Hillary Clinton yesterday with one of her reported pervert buddies, and I said, this is your elitism. This is your power. This is your grace. This is your beauty. This is your purity. I don't want to be within a trillion miles of you. So if you go to my Twitter account, Real Alex Jones, I tweeted out yesterday morning, and it just shows the evil in her eyes, and it just shows you the evil in her actions and who these people are and what they stand for. Now, before I go any further, the Twitter's Real Alex Jones, before I go any further, I didn't get to all this, but I will coming up. And Dr. Jerome Corsi's coming in with the secrets of QAnon. I'm going to have him host for two segments. But before I go any further here, look at all these other headlines. Trump ignores DOJ warning, wants FISA memo release. Oh, the terrorists will get us. Oh, don't release it, please. First, it was nothing. Then it was made up. Then it wasn't important. And then blah, blah, blah. It's the total proof of the collusion of Obama, Hillary, the Democratic Party, all of them. Another one. Amid turmoil, Trump seeks to reset with State of the Union. They don't want to reset. They want to kill our prosperity and control the economy. Senators press Podesta and other Democrats about dossier. Hillary and Podesta, the articles on Infowars.com, have been told, you have 2 weeks to turn those documents over. Continuing, Trump amnesty offer intended to expose Democrat cynicism. Yeah, when he said, okay, I'll go ahead and legalize all these people, they went, no, we want totally open borders. Anybody can come here, and you're a white supremacist. They want the end of the borders, folks. That's what this is. You see, they took that as weakness. Oh, look at this. Migrants in Italy will be taught they shouldn't beat women when they say no. Isn't that just cute? Liberal California councilmen and teachers tell students military are dumb bleeps and the lowest of our low. Bernie Sanders acknowledges Democrats forced government shutdown. It was the right thing to do, because he wants to, like a Nazi, hurt 1.8 million people and 800,000 children in DACA. He wants to, even though he just said legalize them, he says, oh, I had to shut it down because he was going to legalize them. And I mean, we can't let people know that. And then they go, oh, he's breaking his promise. He never broke his promise. He said, if you can really prove you're here and legal and been here a long time when we're a kid, but if you've been deported a bunch of times and are a criminal and can't prove it, you're gone. Wow. Common sense, man. So that's just some of the news. Trump tells Piers Morgan, I wouldn't say I'm a feminist, but rather for everyone. Yeah, you're pro-human. But meanwhile, unhinged Michael Moore assails Trump as unfit, narcissist, sociopath, threat to humanity. Now, I'm going to go to this special report by Paul Watson. Then we're coming back with a detailed one that we haven't aired yet, an interview I did Friday that hasn't aired yet with Milo. Major studies out. Why are conservatives on average so much better looking than liberals? And why do they also give more to charity and steal less? And the answer is they're not liberals. They flipped everything. Classical liberals set up our country. They're pro-gun. They're for low taxes. They're for do what you want as long as you don't hurt somebody. The left are control freaks that want to run every aspect of your life. Here's that report.
Political activists and journalists, yeah, not noted for their visual appeal. But now science has confirmed what we knew all along. Conservatives are way hotter than liberals. A new study published by Cambridge University Press finds that conservative men and women tend to be physically more attractive than their political opponents. We find that attractive individuals are more likely to identify with the Republican Party and more likely to be conservative, the researchers concluded. So they used huge data sets, and all the participants were ranked by other people on their hotness. And conservatives clearly came out on top. This confirms a previous UCLA study which found more feminine, less manly looking women were more likely to be conservatives. Even arch feminist Lindy West admits that conservative women are prettier. Remember that scene in The Shining where he kisses the hot naked chick who then turns into some kind of zombie witch? Well, scientists have now confirmed that communism has the exact same effect on women. Turns out being a resentful, snarling loser manifests itself physically. Why do you think fat social justice warriors are constantly trying to ban offensive Halloween outfits? Sexy, slender women in tight-fitting costumes everywhere. Yeah, it's not rocket science.
I'm triggered.
Why do you think they tried to ban beach body ads? Same reason. The Alberta Youth Communist League. I'm not saying these people are ugly, but when they try to take selfies, their phones spontaneously combust. Look at these anti-Milo protesters at UCLA. If they put as much effort into grooming as they do silencing free speech, maybe they wouldn't look like Michael Moore and Rachel Maddow's bastard love child. Just saying. Look at the girl on the right. Get it? On the right?
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
She's got less armpit hair than Vern Troyer's got head hair. As for the girl on the left, not even a soy boy is going to want to touch that spaghetti.
Somebody touch my spaghetti!
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not.
It gets the people going.
Shut up, Hillary girl versus Lena Dunham. Let's just say I'm with her.
How to be anti-feminist woman on YouTube, hot, hate of the women, nearly a teenager, unhealthy pathological need for male approval.
How to be a feminist woman on YouTube, ugly, hate hot women, hate young hot women, unhealthy need for hair dye.
Kill Donald Trump, and then it says kill Mike Pence, and then it says it's guillotine time, bitches.
But Paul, I can give you a million examples of liberals who aren't ugly.
Yeah, they're celebrities. If they weren't liberals, they wouldn't have a career. I'm talking about activists and journalists. Like this woman. Now, I know they say stand up for your rights, but in this case, probably not a good idea. Why do you think the vast majority of the journalists exposed as sex pervs have been lefties? Because they're ugly, they hate themselves, and are therefore very unsuccessful at attracting women in the normal way. I mean, the Elephant Man gets more right swipes on Tinder than Sam Chris.
But Paul, stop being such a bigot. People are beautiful at any size.
Unless you disagree with their politics, in which case they're an obese tyrant or an emaciated skank. Unless you digitally remove their makeup and then you all have a meltdown. Now we cross live to CNN for a special report by me.
Is radical feminism a refuge for fat, ugly women who can't attract high-value men? The stereotype generally holds true, because they look like swamp donkeys.
Kind of sad, honestly.
Speaking of CNN, everyone's mad at them for promoting cuckoldry. But a study in France found that leftists were more likely to be into it. So CNN's only appealing to its core audience, who in many cases are quite literally cucks. So there you have it. It's not my opinion that conservatives are hotter than leftists. It's science.
It works. Bitches.
All right, we're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to come back and play Milo's report that I shot in here Friday that we haven't aired yet. But just briefly, the crew's reminding me, this is a big operation. I haven't plugged one time. I get so obsessed with news. We have great products at InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com. We have the ultimate turmeric product, bodies, 50% off. It's selling so fast. I'm going to have to end that special. Brain Force, 25% off. Please help support the InfoWar and get great products, whether t-shirts, books, videos. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com, or 888-253-3139. And again, you make this all possible. We'll be back. And then the secrets of QAnon with Dr. Jerome Corsi. Stay with us.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thank you again so much for joining us. If you just tuned in, you missed it. Last segment, I played an excerpt of a video Paul Joseph Watson put out on Friday of last week, Sexy Hot Conservatives. And it shows study after study after study, even done at major liberal universities, by think tanks, you name it, that all over the world, not just in the West, people identify conservatives, libertarians, as handsomer, sexier, better looking, more successful, better dressed. These are in blind studies where they're showing people that aren't public figures, but who are conservatives versus liberal. And that's because they have inverted the terms and inverted the names. It's conservatives of the modern age that are the classical liberals, like a Thomas Jefferson. The modern liberals are the authoritarians and the control freaks and basically the followers. And so that's why they, again, appear when they call themselves a modern liberal as so rat-like. But let's go to Milo Yiannopoulos' breakdown on these latest studies as well when he joined me for a tape interview we did last Friday. You were on the radio with me a few days ago, and you had a point you wanted to get to during a break. We never got to it. You said, Alex, let's talk about the fact that conservatives in studies all over the world are better looking than liberals. And I don't think of myself as a great suave-looking guy like you. I mean, you are
suave. Well, no, but you are unaware, because you're you, of your raw sexual energy. So you've got the same thing Trump has. You've got that kind of like alpha male aura, which just has women and gay men, wilting in your presence.
You're being too nice. But seriously, compared to an average leftist mob, I am at least look somewhat healthy and virile and can talk.
You're put together. You're clean and well groomed, which puts you head and shoulders above a lot of the leftist activists.
Well, I remember going to leftist events 10 years ago, and they looked like hell. Now they look like half dead zombies.
Yeah.
So we're not being mean when we say this. Statistics have come out. We'll show an article. We can pull it up.
Well, we can be mean, but we're also on the right side of science. I'm perfectly happy to be mean.
Well, we're into it right now, but they're like sick. 6 times more likely to steal, 9 times more likely to virtue signal and not give to charity, so-called conservatives.
Yeah.
I mean, these are really some horrible people, and they seem to be degrading. So you wanted to get into that point. Give us your little nugget of why they're so culturally out of control, anti-free speech, but also physically ugly.
I believe that Roald Dahl was right in his introduction to the Twits, that you can see a person's character on their face. And Roald Dahl, at the beginning of the Twits, says, it doesn't matter if you've got wonky teeth and wonky eyes and stick out whatever. If you are a good person, your goodness, your joy will shine through in your face. If, on the other hand, you may be, on the face of it, handsome, but inside your heart is dark and evil and wicked, it will show. And over the years, it will show more and more and more. Well, the science is divided, to say the least, on whether left-wing politics make people unattractive or unattractive people are more drawn to left-wing politics. Left-wingers themselves say that people who don't subscribe to traditional beauty standards or society's body norms are more likely to be driven to political philosophies that make excuses for them, which is why you see in so many liberal arts colleges fat studies emerging. These skinny white liberals who want to justify the terrible, terrible lifestyle choices of their fellow left-wingers. But more and more and more, regardless of the direction of causality, studies are coming out. This most recent one from Cambridge University, it could not be a more venerated institution. More and more studies are coming out demonstrating that when you blind people to the identity of a pile of people and ask them to sort the pictures into attractive and unattractive, you will get right-wingers over here on the attractive pile and left-wingers over on the unattractive pile. This holds for politicians. It holds for private citizens. Right-wingers are hotter. Science has proven it over and over and over again. This latest study that came out from Cambridge this month is just the last study to reestablish what I think we all know from having seen it in our own lives. Republicans don't say this kind of thing to be mean, although I'm perfectly happy to be mean on occasion if the science and the numbers justify it. It does seem to be the case, though, that people who are unhappy with themselves, with how they look, are often drawn to left-wing causes and left-wing political positions. Could be something to do with the fact that people who have low self-esteem want other people to suffer like they're suffering, or people who think they're unattractive or think that they are overweight and aren't prepared to do anything about their condition. They don't want to groom themselves as little more carefully, wear slightly more flattering clothes, or have a bit more discipline in their diets and exercise regime, instead of taking personal responsibility for their situation, would rather blame the world for imposing unrealistic beauty standards on them. Certainly, we know that conservatives, Republicans, and libertarians have a greater affinity for independence and for personal responsibility. Maybe it's the case that there are just as many ugly people on the right as on the left, but the ugly people on the left who are unwilling to take personal responsibility for their physical condition would rather blame the world for it, and that's what attracts them to left-wing causes. We don't know. More studies and more science and more speculation is sure to follow on this. One thing we do know for sure, if you see someone hot in the street, they're much more likely to be Republican.
Someone very profoundly once said many years ago that if fascism ever comes to America, it'll come in the name of liberalism.
This young generation who scream words like fascist, have actually themselves become the fascists.
You guys are the fascists! You're all the fascists!
You're white male!
I just wish that somebody would create like some kind of a safe space where we can all just go and...
I actually don't.
All right. Hey, who wants to help me get this reporter out of here? I need some muscle over here.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
So the question is, are social justice warriors mentally ill, or are they just stupid?
When your emotions control your actions, it affects not only yourself, but the people around you.
There are over 7 million mentally ill and emotionally disturbed children in America.
This has to be a joke. I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to kill myself, and I'm not kidding. You better fix this right now!
Get the out of here!
Jeff's losing control of himself.
Get your phone away!
Why?
Quit recording!
The madder he gets, the worse it becomes.
Get the f*** away!
You couldn't help interrupting, could you? Added nothing to that conversation.
These are some of Tommy's drawings that the school sent over. There's an awful lot of hate in them.
I am a nasty woman.
America!
Like your wet dreams infused.
So the facts are in. It's a scientific fact. Liberals are better looking than authoritarians. But authoritarians now call themselves liberal to control Western civilization while they attack classical Western liberal values that come out of the West. They are authoritarians, and then they have a lot of camp followers who are pseudo-intellectuals, very, very dumbed down, very, very angry, many more times likely to steal, to virtue signal and not give to charity. It's all out there, even in top psychology publications written by liberals. They ask, why are we such bad people? Because you're imposters. You're not liberals. We'll be back with Dr. Jerome Corsi and the secrets of QAnon.
You won't hear me.
Front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Out of my way, out of my day, out of your mind and into my head. Into no born, into not born, into your step, but out of time.
Oh, it's Alex there with you. Okay, this is Dr. Corsi, and I'm doing a kind of a debrief on the QAnon phenomenon and the QAnon posts, which I've been decoding and posting on Scribd, and then also on Twitter and here on Infowars.com. Now, I want this to be an update. This is Saturday, from Saturday to the 27th, yesterday, and Sunday today. We have not had any QAnon posts today. But I want to introduce it by saying, first of all, that in my intelligence background, I think that the QAnon phenomenon is real. I judge the QAnon is really a military intelligence source that is very close to the president. I'm finding that because the posts tend to merit consideration. They prove out things that QAnon says are going to happen. Connections that QAnon says are going to be obvious once you examine them. When you do the research, those connections are there. And just to start, QAnon stands for Q Anonymous. And Q is probably the highest level of intelligence clearance, security clearance that you can get in the U.S. government. So a Q Anon is someone who is operating pretty much as an intelligence source, but operating anonymously. That's where we get Q Anon, so that the identity is not really clear to anybody who's trying to figure out who QAnon is. It's intended to code the identity. That's the whole point. Now, I want to point out some of the issues that we're dealing with right now. That QAnon is saying we are in a great awakening, that there has been essentially a 16-year coup d'etat treasonous conspiracy that had been planned by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Barack Obama just served actually 8 years in term, two terms in office, and Hillary Clinton, 8 years, two terms, 16 years total, as a deep state conspiracy, which is being orchestrated by the deep state, meaning the CIA, together with other forces in the government that Clinton, Obama holdovers in the Department of Justice, in the FBI, as well as the mainstream media and the establishment in the mainstream media, commercial mainstream media, essentially forming a mouthpiece for the Pravda, as it were, for the government position. Now, as we forward this and take a look at how QAnon communicates, I'm going to try to decode a few of these posts so you can get a good idea of, you know, the way these communications come across. By the way, QAnon was saying that the Hannity losing his Twitter account on Saturday was the result of an outside attack, not from within Twitter, but most likely a CIA attack. And then, as you recall, the attack, Hannity's account went down after he posted three times in a row this 1649. Well, QAnon said that submission was complete. What 1649 is, that's the year in which Charles I in Great Britain was beheaded in a treasonous plot where Charles I was the treasoner, guilty of treason, convicted of treason. And so in 1649, those posts that were coming out from Hannity suggested that we're moving into a phase in which it's going to be more clearly said that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were involved in treason, trying to cancel a duly elected president from serving on this concocted Russian collusion theme. It was based on false research that was known to be false out of Great Britain from this Fusion GPS dossier that was used to get FISA court approval to conduct electronic surveillance on Donald Trump's campaign and transition, which is a treason. That's going to be increasingly said. And so when Hannity posted the 1649 and his Twitter account was attacked, the deep state does not want the message coming out that we're now about to experience a Trump counterattack. That this Mueller effort, to the first effort of the deep state, the Obama-Clinton planners to remove Trump from office, has failed. And now Trump has the forces together and assembled and is ready to go into action, into battle, with a counterattack. And then the posts that we've been getting over the last few days have suggested that Donald Trump, with this executive order that he signed on the 21st of December, which gives the Treasury the right to confiscate the assets of those engaged in serious human rights violations and those who are basically engaged in corruption, and did, by the way, declare a state of national emergency on that, has positioned President Trump to use exceptional powers, including martial law, and to bring various of these treasonous offenders before a military tribunal, if in fact that's decided to be the best recourse to bring them to justice. Now, one of the posts that we got today, and here's how the QAnon posts go. They're being posted on the deep internet, very much on the 8chans, which are a bulletin board. They're hard to navigate. Take some time to navigate them. They're kind of rough in terms of the dialogue on them is pretty robust. People don't have any – everybody's anonymous, and so they call out people and throw you off the board if you're not following the right protocol. But I want to read this one and decode it for you, because this is how you've got to basically understand the Q posts. And he's doing this in order to open our minds and to get everybody to think, the anonymous out there working on this, to see the connections. So this is a post which was on Saturday. It occurred at really 2 in the morning. Q, I believe, went to Davos with President Trump, and he's coming back saying this basically: do you expect HRC, GS, Hussein, etc., to stand in a public courtroom with potential crooked judges and tainted liberal juries? Now, that's, do you expect Hillary Clinton, George Soros, Hussein is always Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, and Q is asking, you know, we're not going to put them up to public trial, because you've got liberal judges, liberal juries, they'd make a show trial out of this and maybe get acquitted. So don't, you know, got to take seriously the fact that this executive order established the powers of martial law to go after corruption and human trafficking. Then Q next in this post says, how do you defuse a bomb? Knowledge of which wires, strings to cut. Now, Q is also saying here that just having trials against Hillary and Obama and George Soros are not enough, that there's a much more a demanding justice that we get here, which goes after the globalists, the deep state, the central bankers, the New World Order that have made Hillary and Obama pawns, their puppets, in this game of moving to globalization. And what QAnon is saying is he not only wants to block this coup d'etat, but he also wants to make sure that in the process, he ends the globalist power to create a new world order. We'll pick it up from there, but that's the first introduction I want to give you into how QAnon operates.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
I want to return now to look at these QAnon posts, and I'm going to pick out a couple of them that I think are really critical to understand where QAnon is going. This is a post that was done on January 22nd. And again, QAnon appears to be a military intelligence source that is working very closely with President Trump to expose the Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama coup d'etat, treasonous effort to really revise the Constitution, change the United States into a socialist or European-style communist party. Revise the Constitution and the Second Amendment. I mean, it goes on. But I want to focus on this one because it deals with the the memos that we've been getting out from that are now supposedly many of them lost between Peter Strozek and Lisa Page in the Department of Justice, the FBI, internal workings. Now, we still have supposedly these missing emails have been found, but they've not been released yet to Congress. Now, QAnon asks, what would happen if the text originating from an FBI agent to several internals, FBI agents, discussed the assassination possibility of the POTUS or member of his family? Now, if my hypothesis is right, and QAnon repeatedly says, you know, we know all, we see all, I think that the reality of a coup has triggered military intelligence access to much of the NSA intelligence. So I don't think any of these emails have been lost. I don't think any of Hillary's emails have been lost. And what QAnon is signaling from an intelligence point of view, I mean, QAnon's kind of acting like a deep throat here in Watergate, but sharing the intelligence, more intelligence than ever has been shared with the American public. QAnon suggesting the missing emails, Strozek and Page basically got down to talking about assassinating Trump, if that was the only way to keep him from being president. Now, what if the text suggested that foreign allies were involved? Now, again, this would be explosive information. Forget the Russia setup. This is only the beginning. QAnon says, be careful what you wish for as the world turns. So, you know, we're getting a preview of why some of what's to come is going to be so explosive. Could messages such as these be publicly disclosed? Yes, I think they will be. And what happens to the FBI? What happens to the Department of Justice? Well, both of them will undergo serious consideration of being closed down. If they went that rogue, that not only they were considering preventing a duly elected president who won the Electoral College vote from sitting in the White House and being president, to a conspiracy that included assassinating the president or contemplating it, that's not going to be tolerated within a Justice Department or FBI that's become that corrupt. What happens to the special counsel? What happens in general? The special counsel will probably be closed down because, again, as Q says, every FBI, DOJ previous case could be challenged, lawless. It's a lawless FBI, lawless keeping information, critical information from cases that are being prosecuted by the Department of Justice, which is a clear violation of Supreme Court regulations demanding prosecution share information that could be detrimental to the defense. Then QAnon says, think logically. And that first part of the post wasn't frightening enough. What he says is, QAnon next says, we have not started the drops regarding human trafficking, sacrifices, yet worse. Now, this is pretty frightening, especially as how he couches it. He says, those parentheses good and bold who know cannot sleep, those good who know cannot find peace, those good who know cannot rest until the responsible are held accountable. Now, this signals that what we're going to get and what has been kind of prefigured in the Pizzagate, I think the Pizzagate got out of the gate too fast. I think now QAnon is saying we're going to get some serious evidence that is going to make the country extremely disturbed about the behavior of these political elites who thought they were above the Constitution to engage in a coup d'etat to keep Hillary Clinton in office following Barack Obama. QAnon says nobody can possibly imagine the pure evil and corruption out there. Those you trust are most guilty of sin. Who are we taught to trust? Well, if the people we're taught to trust, including the elite, politicians, people in high positions and corporations, people in the media, are guilty of the atrocities of human trafficking, pedophilia, human sacrifices, The QAnon rightly says, if you're religious, pray. Now, he said 60% of must remain private, at least for humanity. Now, it's been a controversial line because people are saying we want full disclosure. We can handle it. I mean, I'm going to remind you that I've had a lot of training and under security clearances working in universities where I work with some of the best psychiatrists and psychologists in the world. And many of whom are psychopaths, that if Q is right, pedophilia, human trafficking, human sacrificing, Satanism is going to be so disturbing that I'm going to recommend that the majority of people don't disturb you, quit looking at it. Because what we're about to see has the potential, I believe, to create serious psychological damage in normal people who aren't prepared to comprehend or deal with the horrors that are going to be the reality that we're about to have exposed. And again, I think that's the final act. I think we're now going into the counterattack. We're going to have a final act, and the final act is going to be the exposure of the Satanism, the pedophilia, the human trafficking, the abuse of children. And it's going to be a mind-altering to comprehend that this really went on in America and worldwide with the global elite. One more thing I want to comment on just before we wrap up here is that a number of the QAnon posts have suggested that Julian Assange was extracted out of London in January 5th and 6th. And then what we're getting now is kind of a backstory, that what happens is you get the backstory filled in. The backstory gets filled in when you have a intelligence operation that is determined to explain what already happened. So we find out after this that Julian Assange has a diplomatic passport. A diplomatic cat. Yes. Hello? Okay, I'll catch you in a minute. What we find here is I was thought that might be something wrong with the broadcast. That's why I picked it up. What we find here is that Julian Assange, I believe, has already been extracted. And that we're learning about the diplomatic passport and everything else is just explaining it. And quite likely, we're going to see Julian Assange return to the United States. He's not committed any crime here, and he's going to be part of the final act, which a lot of the information that he brings with him, which he will finally release, is going to also, I think, reveal the deep, dark secrets that we are now facing with the plot, which was really a plot to destroy the Constitution, to put Hillary Clinton in power for 8 years, to establish the mainstream media. Quite frankly, I think it's amazing that Donald Trump did win. The United States has been given a grace of God opportunity to repent and reform and to get back to our fundamental principles. I don't know of anyone in the country other than Donald Trump who is capable of doing this. I've known him for 40 years. I've got enormous trust and confidence in his abilities. I urge everyone out there to continue following. We're doing InfoWars to pray for Donald Trump. Thank you very much. Jerome Corsi for InfoWars.